This is Naked Astronomy, the space science podcast from the Naked Scientists. The first stars that existed in the universe, known as Population 3 stars, are something of an enigma. Hot, bright and short-lived, they were born when the universe was very, very different. Now, researchers at Cambridge University's Institute of Astronomy have identified and analysed the gas cloud left behind at the end of the life of one of these stars. I met PhD student Ryan Cook to find out more.
We were searching for evidence for the first generation of stars and trying to understand this population of stars. Well, these stars were born 13 billion years ago or thereabouts. They live very short lives of only a few hundred thousand years, maybe, tops.
With most stargazing, with most astronomy, we look at the light that comes from an object and we use that to try and infer something about its properties. Is this something we can do with the first stars in the universe?
They can be imaged. You can look at them directly with a telescope, but the facilities that we require are only just coming online now. And even then, it's still perhaps a little optimistic. We can still investigate this population today using a slightly different technique. We look for the signature that they left on the surrounding gas. And this gas lay dormant for quite a long time, and we can now see this light against a brighter background source. So you can think of this in the sense of someone shining a torch from the universe directly into your eyes, and this little cloud that we discovered is between us and that torch, and we're looking for the properties of the light that goes through that cloud.
So rather than looking at the light emitted by an object and learning about it like that, we're looking at the light that it absorbs as other light passes through it. What sources of light can you use, and what are the signatures that you're looking for in that light?
The first thing is we need bright sources, and the best sources we know of at present is quasars. What we're looking for is the absence of light at very particular wavelengths, which correspond to the atoms that are in that cloud, measuring the strength of these absorption signatures, how much light is taken away by these atoms. We can therefore infer how many atoms are in this cloud.
So you can see roughly how much of what elements there are there. But what elements would you expect to see having come from one of these really early stars? I'm guessing it's not the same things that we would see in stars today.
That's right, Ben. You're looking for the relative amounts of the different atoms in the cloud. And so you see quite a lot of the sort of the lighter elements like carbon and oxygen, but there's a deficit in heavier elements such as iron.
Now, these heavier elements are actually made in stars. That's where they come from. Throughout the evolution of the universe, different generations of stars will fuse together lighter elements into heavier ones. But if we're only looking at the end result, if we're only looking at what this star has produced throughout its lifetime, how can we find out or work out what it was actually made of in the first place?
In this case, when we're looking at the first stars, we know what they contained initially because the universe only contained hydrogen and helium, and that's what these stars formed out of. So if we use computer models to generate a star that contained only hydrogen and helium gas, we can follow its evolution, including its lifetime and its death, to determine what mix of elements were produced by the star during its entire lifetime.
And when you do this for one of these very early stars, do you see the ratio of gases that you actually found in that cloud?
More or less, yeah. There are a number of signatures that you need to look for in a cloud of gas to determine whether it's truly of this origin. But one of the distinct features is that from the first stars, you expect to see many more carbon atoms than iron. That's precisely what we have seen. Whereas in more typical stars, you might see the same number of carbon to iron atoms.
So a modern supernova would release a very similar, very close ratio of carbon to iron, but it's only because these original stars, these very early stars, started with such basic building blocks, hydrogen and helium, that we know that we'd see far more carbon than we would iron.
Yes, that's one way to think of it, yes.
why is it important that we study these stars? We do see supernovae very regularly. There's lots and lots to study that we can definitely see and look at in the sky around us right now. Why is it important that we understand these stars that are clearly quite an effort and quite a struggle to actually study?
That's quite true. They're important for a number of reasons. These first stars formed when the universe was cold, dark, and boring. From a chemical point of view, before the first stars existed, the universe only contained hydrogen and helium. After their existence, the universe became this wonderful mix of the elements that we see in the periodic table of elements. And it's from this mix that planets and stars and galaxies form. So it really set the initial conditions for the chemical evolution of our universe. These stars were very hot stars, and they formed when the universe was really cold. So this whole generation of stars heated the gas in the universe and brought an end to these dark ages.
This is, as I understand it, certainly one of, if not the first, opportunities we've had to look at the remnants of one of these stars in this way. But it is only one star. So what's the next step?
Well, I think you've summed it up nicely there. It is just one object. And in order to study the entire generation of first stars, it wasn't just a single star, it was an entire generation. And so we need to study a sample of such things to try to understand better what happened in the dark ages of the universe.
That's Brian Cook trying to shed light on the dark ages of the universe.